Welcome to Board Game Binge, the place where we bring you bite-sized, bingeable board game content across the industry. I'm your host, James Staley, and in this episode, we're chatting with Ross Brugink, creative director, gardener, and award-winning illustrator and designer. His debut game, Vicious Gardens, is crushing it on Kickstarter. Ross, welcome to the binge. How you doing, sir?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
Oh, it is amazing to have you. This is exciting. When I saw this game, it's one of those ones where you do kind of like a double take just with the whole artwork and the creativity around it. And I know that where that comes from is kind of your starting base of your career and kind of your background and things like that. So we're going to get into this in this episode. Let's just start with kind of the whole like creative design illustrator. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? So what do you do for a living? What's your jam?
Yeah, so I'm a creative director at a small agency that I co-own, and it's called Buddy Buddy, and we specialize in packaging and branding and illustration. So we've been open for about 5 years, and before that, I worked in different design agencies. Design illustration is my background. It's an ancillary kind of addition to game design.
For sure.
Visuals are very important. So
is this something you took in school? Like, was this like go right back to when you're in school, or how'd you get into design?
Yeah. So I went to school at the University of Minnesota. I'm right outside of Minneapolis right now. So
nice.
I've been here for a while. I went to school for graphic design, and just right out of school, started my career. So it's been some time.
Is this a passion of yours since you were a kid? Like, were you one of those kids that was always kind of doodling and things like that?
Oh,
or
yeah.
What got you into it?
Yeah. The whole reason I wanted to be an artist, but the practical side said like, oh, I should get into graphic design so I can make some money. obviously, that's not a true stigma. You can be successful in so many different ways. But I went to school to learn about graphic design, just ended up loving it. Just not only like the visual process, but also the problem solving aspect of it. And combining those two things of visuals and problem solving too.
And what kind of problem solving? Like, what do you mean by problem solving?
Well, for instance, if you're making a logo for a company, you're not only designing something that hopefully they like, but you also have to think about the audience, the competitive set, how it translates into different sizes and scales, how it shows up in social media now. So there's more than just creating a beautiful picture. There's more practical application of it. And then also thinking about what it communicates to the audience you're trying to reach and how it compares to the competition. Just that more like strategic base of applying visuals is super intriguing to me.
I gotta tell you, I checked out the Buddy Buddy website, and I mean, the designs you have on there are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they just stunning. You got that kind of it's tough to describe kind of the vibe, but it's definitely got this kind of contemporary, kind of funky yet very clean kind of aesthetic that you guys have established. Now, I imagine you work with designers and so forth. I'm sure you do some of this design yourself. The gaming part, how did that kind of pull in? Like, have you been gaming your whole life, or when did you get into like board gaming?
Yeah, I have since I remember like the very first time I played Catan, I was just like blown away. Like, that was just this experience where I was like, every other game that I played has had like very little strategy. This changes every gameplay. And that was like a huge like moment that actually made me enjoy board games. So that happened in college, and I actually worked at summer camp, so we didn't have TVs, and so all of our downtime was playing Catan, and it was just like everybody was doing it, and it was really fun, and so like that's always stuck with me. And but you know, I'm not like a terribly avid gamer. I really enjoy it. One of my other favorite games is Citadels, which has a kind of like similar like take that mechanism to Vicious Gardens. But knowing that there's were these games that existed, I just kind of wanted to try my hand at designing one as well. For a couple of reasons. One was I wanted an excuse to like use illustrations for a product of my own. Primarily because posters and t-shirts, they're awesome, but you can only have so many. I wanted something with a little bit more utility behind it. So doing that, and also just trying to make a game that like I enjoyed with my friends, which has a lot of, you know, just kind of playful, you know, like razzing each other as we play, you know, just shit talking each other, like, much. And yeah, that's the kind of game I enjoy, something that's quick and easy to learn. And I have a young family too, so my time is pretty limited. So sure. Trying to find that balance of something that's enjoyable and quick to play, but still has some strategic intrigue behind it, was kind of main goal behind the game.
And was this your first design that you've ever did, or did you have other designs that got scrapped and kind of this one is the one that came forward, or?
So the theme has always been consistent, but the different styles of game, it's been pretty all over the map. So the game that exists today is thematically the same. There's some elements that are similar, but the mechanics have shifted throughout. I mean, there was a time when we were playing with dried beans as game pieces.
Oh, wow.
Which that was super fun and on theme, but it was like the most tedious thing in the world. You're like adding beans up and subtracting. It was just too much. For what I wanted. So it's gone through many iterations through mechanics, and it's been almost 3 years now since starting the project.
And you went through the whole Protospiel gambit as well, right? Down in Minneapolis area as well, or?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I went there 2 years ago and this last year. And it was awesome. So I'm pretty new to the industry and the community. And it was great going and meeting people. I mean, I felt like everybody was so welcome and really intrigued by the artwork. And I got some really, really good feedback on the game itself. And the first day I came back kind of discouraged because I was like, oh, this game's not working. And then I just like couldn't fall asleep. 2:30 in the morning, I made some changes. And then the next day, it was actually like playable, and it was like, okay, like someone's actually enjoying this. And then moving on, just iterative steps, sharing with people at Protospiel and getting feedback has been so helpful. And I met my publishing partner there as well, Pops and Bijou. They're out of Fargo, and they've just been great, great partners to work with. So yeah, I mean, it was a little, out of my realm of comfort going there initially. Sure. And I just felt like people were so welcoming, and I learned so much and played so many fun ones too. Like just so many different mechanics and different themes and styles of gameplay that I didn't know existed. So that's another really great part of that.
So is this something you recommend for other people? Like to definitely, if you're looking to come up, you know, go to either like the Unpubs or the Protospiels and get others to who are game designers to weigh in specifically, or?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and actually I think there was one in Minneapolis this last weekend that I couldn't go to. And I was really disappointed about that because even going there with just to play test is so fun because these games are good, and they're not all like 2-hour campaigns. Like there's lots of people just doing like party games or like really, really quick play ones or really light, just fun and feel good games. I brought my daughter there on the last day on the last one, and she's seven, and she just had a blast. Like, we just played different games, and it was amazing to see like what she was able to retain and take in and play, and she just loved it there. So I think it's so much fun, even more fun just going as a casual gamer and giving your input, because you don't have as much of kind of a agenda or checklist to get through as far as like play testing. You can just experience games and help creators, and all of it's very, very welcoming. There was never a point, I don't think, that anybody went there and felt kind of out of their league or anything.
I love having like a balance of people who are obviously into game design and have games of their own, but even people that are going in, those casual gamers, those are the hidden gems in those events, because really they're coming at it with very kind of fresh eyes, right? And they're not looking, they're not trying to see under the hood and how the engine works while they're driving the car, so to speak. They're just kind of playing it, and either they're having fun or they're not, right? They're either enjoying it or they're not, or they're feeling like there's dead hands or they don't. And, you know, that feedback I find helps balance off some of that deeper kind of feedback you get sometimes, where that's important as well. We have people who do game design for a living. They can go super deep, super quick and say, well, you might want to check these little things here that aren't quite working. And that might then bubble up to the surface to fix that thing you're trying to fix up here. But for me, I love to kind of have as wide a swath of experience levels as possible playing the game. So you do get that balance. They're also less likely to kind of try to turn the game into something that they would want to play give you feedback on your game, which is sometimes a trap. I'll say it when you're playing with game designers, is they automatically go into the design mode. Okay, how can we fix this? How can we change this into something that's going to work in this other avenue? And it might not be the direction you're trying to go. So
really, it's just like, are you having fun? Like, like you're saying, like you get that more with people who are just there for like to play a game. I mean, that's what we're all about in the end. And the more detailed feedback is helpful, but it's good to know that like, oh, you're just having a good time playing this. Like, that's really what this is all about. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, you had a Launch Boom Accelerator program on the bottom of your page as well. I want to jump into that really quick. We had Mark on the CEO a few weeks back, and free plug for him. I actually read his book afterwards, and my gosh, is it a paint by numbers on how to go through and launch a game on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, but for the gaming industry, it's going to be predominantly Kickstarter. What connected you to Launch Room? How did you get connected to these guys?
I had a email reach out to me. I forget the contact there, but someone reached out to me, and then, you know, I was just promoting on Instagram at that point. But I was trying very hard to have like a very like distinct visual presence from the beginning. So someone reached out, I'm assuming just because they saw the content. And then I talked to Maria there. And then signed up. And I mean, there was so much I did not know going into this. I delayed my launch by like 4 months or so, just because, I was aiming to launch just with my existing network. I didn't know about like the funnel or like Facebook ads. I was pretty new to it all. And that's not saying you can't launch a Kickstarter that way, but there's so much that I learned through that program.
Well, I think to be clear, first game, right?
Yeah.
New to the industry. The odds are stacked against you entering. Like, I mean, for those, and I'm going to put this in Canadian dollars, it's the only way I can see it, but you're at $484,000. Still 8 days to go. You're going to have the back end hockey stick. So, in Canadian dollars, this is easily going to be $600,000 campaign, probably even higher, right? That's a huge, huge number for your first campaign and being new to the industry. I would be interested, you know, if you could use a time machine or have a parallel universe of, you know, what would that have looked like had you not gone through that program and just tried to kind of like you know, figure out building that, like no audience either, right? If you're new to the game industry, you have zero as your audience, right? And you got to build that from scratch. And as we all know, it all comes down to your audience that you've built for your campaign. So, so kudos to you for recognizing that, hey, there's a lot I don't know here that I got to try to figure out and figure out quickly. And then I think the other thing you mentioned, which I really like to hear, is when people say, you know what, I pushed my campaign back because I wasn't quite ready, or there's some things I still need to figure out before I launched. There's an equal number of people I've run into, unfortunately, in the industry, where they have a date stuck in their head. And if anybody's read Jamie Stegmaier's book, this is one of the things that he really harps on in his book, was, you know, no one's going to remember a campaign being delayed, but they are going to remember a campaign that, you know, fails spectacularly, right? There's no cost to pushing your campaign back. This is all things that you're creating in your own head, these little goalposts. And you can move those goalposts if you want, if it's going to set you up for better success. So kudos to you for even having the, you know, the emotional intelligence to be able to do that as well, because it's not an easy thing to do, especially when people get fixated on, no, I got launched by XYZ date. And, you know, and then they just go and they're not ready. So kudos to you for that.
Thanks.
The other thing I want to jump in on is the video. My God, this video on your campaign. Did you make this video yourself? Who made this? Stop motion. This is.
Yeah, it was. It was a winter in a garage that was just a complete mess. So I did have help from a fantastic video editor to compile all the clips. And
sure,
my friend is a musician, so he did a take on morning mood, kind of like classic pastoral, you know, agricultural-esque piece of music. But yeah, it took ages. I'm not sure I'd do it again. I had my daughters have a lot of like dollhouse pieces and such.
Yeah.
So I had the little people. We have a fairy garden in our garden. So I had some supplies from that, and then I was able to gather the rest of the set just going to thrift stores and buying silk flowers and another like various material.
Maybe it's just my sense of humor, because I have a bit of a darker sense of humor, but the opening scene, and I encourage anybody, please, if you do anything, even if you don't back this campaign, go check out the video. Like, it starts off with one gardener throwing a pair of gardening shears into the chest of another gardener.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, that's this obviously a take that game, right? Like, this is going to be this is a vicious garden. So I was laughing. But God, well done. They need to have an award category. Maybe they already do. I don't know, with like Dice Tower and these guys for Kickstarter videos, right? Because there's Ori Kagan, Kagan Productions. There's David Diaz from Messy Game Labs. And then anybody that creates their own, but like these, there should be a category where there's an award for best, like this for sure would take the cake. Yeah. It is so well done.
Awesome.
So I want to give you guys kudos to that, because it is. Yeah.
Thank you.
It hooks you, and my God, bravo, man. That was just awesome.
Yeah.
So thanks. Let's talk about the game. So explain to people, so Vicious Gardens, what's it about? And then how do people play, if you're going to kind of use descriptive words to explain it?
Yeah. So I would say it's, I use this line a lot, but it takes the thrill of gardening and combines it with being a jerk. So right away, you know, your path to victory is going to have to come through screwing another opponent over. So it's a card-based, and it's set collecting, and then there's decisions as to how you stack your hand. Do you want to add more plants, which allow you to purchase victory cards and get you points, or do you want to invest in specialists, which then allow you to kind of manipulate different gardens, steal plants from other players, and protect or inhibit your garden or other gardens. So it's pretty light. I'd say it's a 30-minute playthrough. Mm. There's what I really love about it is toward the end of the game, the beginning of the game is pretty slow as you're getting your feet wet, kind of understanding how the game works. But as your gardens build up and your opponent's gardens build up, toward the end of the game, there's bigger point swings, which I've always had like such a blast seeing how the lead sometimes can change on that last turn. So there's always this sense of investment there for all the players playing, where you always have a sense that you could come back. And lots of times you do. If you're the furthest behind in the beginning, you find your way back. So it has, you know, I would say it's a take that game, but it's also a very balanced take that game, which I think is very appropriate. Starting to rain here too, so let me know if you edit my mic or anything.
Oh, it's all good. That's amazing. Yeah. So then with the, and there's two things I noticed kind of as I kind of scrolled on your page there while you're chatting. One is you've got this Kickstarter exclusive sleeve that goes over the box.
Yep.
This is a very elegant kind of shelf presence. What was the thought process behind adding that in?
Yeah. So packaging design being that that's like a huge part of my day-to-day job. I just am all about presentation and how things appear on a shelf. And so just the idea of having that intrigue, that kind of that sense of sophistication in the cover, where you're not trying to communicate your whole game through a cover, and you're trying to have this premium quality that also has a bit of mystery and intrigue to it, where someone might see it on shelf and want to ask you to what that's about. So that was the whole idea behind it. I'm a sucker for foil printing on anything. So I want to incorporate that. And then it also is double-sided depending on which cover you like best, essentially. The nice thing about it being a Kickstarter exclusive is it's not on a retail shelf. So you don't have to have the whole player account. You don't have to have the description of the game. You can just have something that looks nice and something that will work well in your home. So that was the thinking behind that.
Oh, that's cool. And then your expansions. So I know there's like four different expansions you have as add-ons in the campaign.
Yeah.
So are these things that were kind of like that you had kind of designed along the way, or did you kind of get the base game and then you went and created the expansions, or how do they kind of play into the game itself?
Yeah, there were elements that I always wanted to include in the base game, but I was really, really trying to be cognizant of who was like the target market player and thinking of having my friends who I didn't want to overly complicate the base game. And so the expansions were different ideas that I thought would be cool to incorporate into the base game, but kind of merited their own kind of separate course of action, I guess, for people to decide to take. So, you know, some are pretty classic, like secret goal cards. The idea of adding weeds to a garden is a more thematic choice for noxious weeds, which is another expansion. And each one kind of offers like a little twist on how you would approach the game and how you would manage your hand and your garden. But a big part of it is I wanted to design four because I really wanted to do this double-sided box. That was also the same when you flip it upside down.
Yeah.
So it was partly indulgent on me having my fun with the box packaging.
Oh, that's amazing. And then with your publisher, as you're showing on the screen here. So how did you connect with them?
Yeah, I met them. Games. Yeah, I met them at Protospiel, and they took an interest in the game, and we talked, and we figured out what would be the best relationship, and me being a first time designer and not really wanting to continue to manage this after launch. Mm-hmm. They've been great partners and kind of letting me do the game design, the campaign design, really helping advise along the way, their experience of doing Kickstarters. And then they're going to then take it to retail and distribute it after the campaign. And we'll just be partners moving forward in that realm. So they've been great and flexible, which I think is super helpful in this kind of modern entrepreneurial design environment we're at with Kickstarter and people starting their own projects. So I'm excited and yeah, they've been fantastic partners and have had great insight throughout.
Was there any push for them to like change any elements of the game, or is there anything where they requested, say, hey, like, can you change this one thing here? It's going to help us from a like a manufacturer standpoint or retail perspective. Like, was there any changes along the way at all? Or,
yeah, but it was very collaborative. The name changed. We started out as Savage Gardens, which I thought was awesome.
Is that a band?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Which is why I thought it was so funny.
Savage Gardens, that's amazing.
But yeah, for obvious reasons, that was in retrospect not the best.
Yeah.
And so they were fully supportive of changing that. They've never been like pushy, but also have been like very straightforward with their thoughts and feedback, which has been awesome. Especially with manufacturing and me kind of getting in my own way sometimes with wanting to add too many kind of visual assets to the game, able to have that experience and set of advice on what gamers may be looking for more than just like fancy packaging, like what's the practicality of it. So for instance, we incorporated all the expansions into the box, which I didn't really think of. They'll all fit in the box now.
Perfect. I was gonna ask you that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I was approaching it thinking like, oh, people will want these boxes to be displayed because they're cool. But there's not practicality behind that. Like, you want it all in one place. So so they've just been fantastic to bounce those ideas off of and kind of provide a counterbalance and check when I might be missing something.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that, you know, there's so much learning. And, you know, even I'll talk to some people that have been in the industry, like from content creator standpoint, and kind of behind the scenes, we'll be talking about, and they'll start asking me about production, right? And there's things that I assume are general knowledge that I realize are not general at all. And, you know, that's when working with designers is sometimes you got to pull back the reins, right? And say, okay, I understand what you're trying to do there, but here's the impact on cost if we do that. And one I came across the other day is someone was talking about a rule book and they're like, well, they should add one more page. Just one more page would make this so much clearer. It's like, well, no, you have to add four pages.
Yeah,
you can't
add four
one.
Pages, right. Yep.
Right.
<Yeah.
laughs> Because you print in fours, right? Like the way the books fold together. So, but the average person wouldn't know that, right? Or, hey, why don't you do X, Y, Z? It's like, okay, I can, but that's going to increase the weight of the game. It's going to impact the shipping, or we're going to have to change this, which is going to increase the cost. It might seem small, but by the time that flows through to retail, that works out to be another $4 per, you know, per game MSRP on you know, on that copy. So it's kind of trying to work your way through those nuances, yet on balance, not lose kind of what the designers have put together. I think in this case, you're probably the dream designer to work with because you come with the art as well. Right. And a lot of times as a publisher, you have to go and you'll take a game and then you have to go develop it and you have to get artists and all these things to, you know, kind of, you know, build out that that visual look of the game.
Yeah.
Where in this case they don't. You come with that, which is amazing. Right. So kudos to you on that. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So kind of where do you go from here? Like, are you going to keep doing game design, or are you kind of out of the gig now, or what's next?
Yeah. Well, next is getting through this final week. God, it's like so much. I'm very excited to see where this week brings us. And I'm so excited to like finish the illustrations. You know, I have maybe 8 more plants to illustrate. So I've been doing that throughout the campaign. I'm so excited for people to actually like experience all these like really quirky and kind of dumb punny names that we've been giving the plants. But after this gets produced and it's out in the world, there's 4 more games that I need to start playtesting and prototyping. One I've actually had for a while that's a completely different take, more of a classic board game, not even board game, classic tile laying game. That's much more about the kind of like the simplicity and the beauty of a classic game. So really aiming for that instead of quirkiness and humor with that. And then some other fun ideas. So sorry, that's a long-winded answer to say that I'm not done, and I'm so excited to design more and learn from this first experience. I think upcoming products will just be all that more exciting to work on. And having done this process already, I think there's so many learnings to take from it. And so I'm terribly excited to make the next ones.
As it should be. Well, I want to congratulate you on what you've achieved so far. I mean, this is very impressive, and still 8 days to go. So this is going to have a very strong finish for you that I'm sure you guys are going to be happy with. For those who want to check out this campaign, I encourage them to go on to Kickstarter, Vicious Gardens. I'll also put a link in the show notes. You can quickly take you there. At the very least, check out the video on his page. Like, oh, it is so good. Ross, I want to wish you all the best in this coming year. I can't wait to see where this ends. And I'll be watching and rooting for you, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. You take care. Cheers.
Great. You too.
This has been an episode of the Board Game Binge Podcast, hosted by James Staley, produced by James Staley and Mike Bruner, with original music by Nick Smith. If you would like to watch these interviews live, simply subscribe to our YouTube channel, Board Game Binge, and you'll get access to live interviews, giveaways, and interesting board game content from across the industry. I can't wait for you to join us. See you next time.